This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Phoebe Judge. Stuart Albright spent 14 years teaching in public high schools and watched a wide range of students come through his classroom. He tries to become an ally to students in tricky situations. But year after year, he notices that some students succeed while others don't. His new book, A World Beyond Home, aims to understand student success through the stories of two former students who, despite many challenging circumstances, transformed their lives and went on to forge successful paths. Student Albright currently coaches football and teaches English and creative writing at Jordan High School in Durham, and he joins me in studio now. Stuart, welcome to The State of Things.
Thank you, Phoebe. It's great to be here.
You've been teaching for 14 years. How did you come into this line of work?
I went to UNC for undergrad, and I think that was a great experience for me, and it really it kind of broadened my view of the world and got me to think about how can I impact the world in some way after I'm done with these 4 years of college, and that sort of planted the seed, and it made me realize that teaching is the great way to impact issues of social justice.
You've worked at a range of schools over the years and in different states. How have those experiences shaped the kind of teacher you are today in the classroom?
I went to grad school in urban education up at Harvard, and I taught in the oldest public high school in the country, English High School, while I was up there. And it's while being the oldest public high school, is also a very rough inner city school. And this was right after 9/11. And there was a tremendous amount of racial issues within the school, particularly in the city as a whole, issues of people being afraid of the other, quote unquote, that was people who looked different. And in the school I was working in, that was a huge, huge issue. And it got me really realizing how, if teachers aren't there to help guide students through these difficult times, who is? And it really made me realize that, that as much as I love working in this northern school, I really missed being back in the South. And I missed North Carolina. I missed places like Durham that had diversity that, while being messy at times, is something that I think we as a community really try to foster.
I think there's this idea that one has, certainly one from the outside, of student success. You know, you've got the grades, you get the test scores, you're successful, you don't, you're not. But what have you learned after all this time about how you measure and how you decide whether a student's successful?
Well, the big reason why I wanted to write this book was that I've noticed that so many of my students, they'd graduate and we'd have the ceremony and I'd give them a hug and hug their family. Then they'd go off and then, I'd hear back from them, 5-10 years later, and many of them really were drifting into their 20s and really struggling to make a life for themselves independently of their family, their parents. But many of them were being really successful, and it really made me wonder, well, why is it that these kids that seem to be ending up in high school at the very same place, they go out in the real world and something happens, and some of them drift and some of them don't. And that was something that I really, really wanted to think through with writing this book.
You now teach at Jordan High School in Durham.
Right.
Can you introduce it to us? You have a reading.
Right, right. So the section I'm going to read right here is just sort of an introduction of the different groups that Jordan High School encompasses. Jordan High School had all the usual cliques. The largest group was the athletes, who Sadiq identified with the most. But he knew a lot of the crew members as well, the Bloods and the Crips, as well as a Hispanic gang called MS-13 that was gaining popularity. Jordan had its share of nerds, too, but they didn't really fit the usual stereotypes. They loved manga and vampire books, carried stuffed cats to school, and created fantasy worlds out of ghosts and goblins and big-breasted anime heroines. Their closest contemporaries were the artists, but this group was all over the place as well. The theater geeks, the slam poets, and the concert musicians. The goths wore black lipstick and wrote dark poetry. The ESL kids huddled in packs and spoke Spanish to their friends from Honduras or Guatemala, trying to fit in but knowing that none of their American-born classmates could understand what it was like to come to this country under the cover of night, carrying 2-gallon jugs of water across a desert, or hiding under a car seat for 8 straight hours, all for the chance at a better life. Then there were the slow learners, the stutterers, the autistic kids who rapped lyrics down the hallways because that was the only way they knew how to make friends. They walked past the actress who was stuck in a wheelchair, the blind kid with a seeing eye dog who was headed to Stanford in the fall, the Pakistani girls covered in silk hijabs, the anarchists, the pothead environmentalists, the foster kids, and in the midst of it all, the plain, everyday boys and girls who just wanted to be invisible.
That's author and high school teacher Stuart Albright reading from his new book, A World Beyond Home. This book tells the stories of two of your former students, George Yamazawa and Sadiq Haynes. Will you tell us about why you decided to profile these two students in particular?
Sure. Well, when I first thought about writing this book, I thought about approaching it from more of a pedagogical standpoint, looking at statistics. And then I realized, after having taught creative writing for 10 years, the thing that's really mattered most to my students is stories. And that really impacts them. When they hear the stories of their classmates, it really shapes their lives in profound ways. So I knew that if I was going to tell this story of student success, I'd like to look at it from a smaller level, from two specific students who clearly don't represent every student, but their struggle represents what a lot of students have had to go through. So that's what really made me want to focus on these two. In particular, these are just two students who I've gotten to know over the years and have kept in touch with and have really been inspired by their life journey.
Well, first, tell us about George and his story.
Sure. So George took my class as a sophomore, my creative writing class. And at that point, by the time he took my class, he was known around school as probably the biggest drug dealer at Jordan High School. He sold marijuana to a lot of students. Everybody knew it, but none of the administrators were able to catch him in the act. So I would have him in detention time and again, and I would say, George, you're going to get caught. Don't let this be your identity. And he said, this is all that I've had. This is all that my identity can be. I said, well, you can be a poet. You're a phenomenal writer. I knew that already at that point about him. But he was stubborn, and of course, eventually he got caught, and he got sent to the alternative school in Durham, and he came back for his senior year. And at that point, all of his quote-unquote friends who he had, many of them stopped talking to him because they realized he wasn't going to be able to supply them with drugs anymore. And that he went through a period of pretty deep depression and loneliness, and then he was introduced to performance poetry. And that made him realize when he had this opportunity to come back to Jordan High School for his senior year, he wanted to start a slam poetry club, and he contacted me. And kind of for him, the rest is history. He's really gone on and is now one of the top slam poets in the country.
Yeah, we have a clip of George Yamazawa and one of his poems. This is him performing the poem Growth.
So in the last 4 years, I've grown from four walls into a home, from a rocking chair into a throne, from a phrase into a poem, learned how to spit from the pit of my jawbones. I ain't got much taller, but growth I have damn sure shown. See, in the last 4 years of my life, I've learned how to write, and I've learned how to shed my light despite the darkness of the night. Learned how to grip my pen like a prison bar and pry myself free like I got Mandela inside of me. But I also learned there's devils inside of me, and there's a heaven that I gotta see. I gotta keep pushing even when it seems like that heaven is out of reach. See, I learned how to believe in me and the things that I can't see. See, I learned how to love, and I learned how to hate a little less. Learned how to depend on cigarettes more than my own father. And I learned that a brother ain't gotta come from the same mother. And I learned that a man ain't defined by no age or no numbers. See, I learned how to sweat when I pray and bleed when I write. Learned how to rip the seams off a mic and lose my voice trying to gain my freedom. Even learned how to sing, even though I can't sing. Even learned how to move my soul and do my dance. I grew my hair and learned how to go Super Saiyan. Learned how to learn, so now I'm learning how to teach, because I done learned how to practice whatever I preach. I grew from a grain into a beach, and I knew for the game, I'm playing for keeps. So whatever I say what I mean. So whenever I speak, I'm able to reach a place that bleeds, and a place that burns, and a place that knows. I got a lot more to learn. Nakasau, how y'all feeling tonight?
That's a clip of National Poetry Slam champion George Yamazawa performing his poem, Growth. G is one of the students profiled in the new book, A World Beyond Home. I'm here with the author, Stuart Albright. And joining me now is the second student profiled in this novel, Sadiq Haynes. Sadiq is currently a football coach at Sam Houston State University in Texas. Sadiq, welcome to The State of Things.
Thank you for having me. How's everyone doing?
We're doing just fine. Well, take us back and tell us a bit about what you were like as a kid entering high school.
During high school, I had returned to public school in eighth grade. We moved to North Carolina. Main reason we moved there is because there was a large Muslim community. So I was in a private school from fifth grade to seventh grade. So going to Giffens Middle School, it was my first time back in public school since we had moved. And then the transition to high school, it was fairly easy for me because I was a likable person. I played football, so getting along with people was second nature to me. So I fit in pretty well. I was pretty much, your average student, so to speak. Coach Albright tried to get me above average because he knew that's what I was able to do. I played football, so I was very active, and I just accumulated different groups of friends while I was there.
You took creative writing with Stuart Albright. What are your memories of your experience in his classroom?
Well, I credit a lot to that class for a number of reasons. It was the reason that I majored in English in college. I learned so much about myself, along with learning about other students and their struggles. It's easy to get caught up in high school trying to fit in. So actually having a chance to hear these different stories from the students that was in his class, it was very eye-opening. It also taught me that, you know, I had a gift in writing, and it helped me cope with a lot of things by getting words on paper and just appreciating life all together.
Sadiq, you ended up becoming involved in a gang. Will you tell us about that and what life was like for you at that time?
Well, for me at the time, you know, I knew it was a gang, but the guys that I was with were my brothers, essentially. It was another group of my friends that I played football with as well as, you know, hanging out outside of school from then. From there, I, you know, started hanging out with them outside of school, and, you know, where we saw it as being a gang, it was more so us hanging out with each other after school, protecting one another. But obviously, you know, once you associate yourself with a gang, you have to kind of take everything else that comes with it. And that's where, you know, I ran into some issues or where I saw myself potentially getting into trouble.
There was one distinct turning point for you. Can you walk us through that night?
Yes. So I went to a party in the rival gang's neighborhood with another one of my friends that I played football with and a young lady. And from there, you know, there were some people that were at the party that we had our pep rally at, and we had a pie eating contest, and one of my friends was in the pie eating contest, and he had the rival's gang covering his eyes because they couldn't see. So after he was done with the pie eating contest, he threw the bandana on the track and stomped on it. Well, that's, you know, as far as being in the gang, that's a sign of disrespect. So once I got to the party, you know, after we were leaving, there were three gentlemen from my school that knew I was associated with them, and they approached us by taunting the girl as we were walking across the street. And I think if it had been for my friend that I was with, knowing one of the gentlemen from middle school, it probably would have turned out worse at that moment. So when we left, my adrenaline was running, and I called my two friends and told them what had happened. And no more than 5 minutes after I got home, they showed up at my house along with one of my friend's brother who had recently got out of jail about a month ago. So they show up. All three of them have guns in the car. They pick me up, and we ride to the West End to call ourselves looking for those guys that approached me at the party. Fortunately, we did not find them. But for me, that was an eye-opening and a turning point, because that night could have ended up 10 times worse than it did, and I would have been in a very bad situation if we had found those men.
What do you think contributed to your success that differed from some of your peers?
My faith, number one, my faith in God, because I'm Muslim. We have core values and beliefs, and without those beliefs, I think I would have strayed more. Along with my parents, growing up, both of my parents helped me out a lot. I had a nice structure at home, and my teachers at school. Pretty much everywhere that I went throughout my day, I had some sort of guidance. You know, I credit Coach Albright, you know, to much of my success and my straight path that I've gone, because throughout the years, even being in college, I still call him to ask him for some advice. But I think those three things, you know, helped me, you know, steer in the right direction.
You go on to become a wonderful football star in college and get all of these volunteer awards, and now you're working as a football coach yourself. Tell us about your life now and what it's been like to kind of reflect back. I think that's a rare thing. Not all of us get a book written about ourselves that we can go through and say, oh no, look at me on page 30. You can. What has this experience been like?
Well, it's a humbling experience. You know, I've been blessed to be in some great situations. You know, I've won various awards, but it keeps me humble. It was the same reason that, you know, me and myself, I just love giving back. So the amount of community service that I did was, you know, just from me wanting to give back to the community. You know, I'm currently in Texas and fortunate to be coaching with my coach that I played for. You know, I guess I made a good, you know, impression on him. He offered me a job to come down here to Texas. And reflecting on it all, you know, I learned life lessons are really the best lessons, and you really learn from those things. You know, keep your head above water. You know, stand on the straight path. I truly believe some of the things that you do full circle will come back, and you'll be rewarded for it. So I'm just truly blessed to be in the situation that I'm in.
Stuart, what's it been like for you to watch Sadiq evolve over the years?
Well, I feel like in some ways like a proud, you know, father, because I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, and the pride that I have in them, and then seeing, you know, my former students who you spend so much time with, you wind up considering them to be almost like family. And it's, teaching is a hard job, and it's become more and more difficult over the past couple of years. So I've really focused, or tried to focus on the positive, tried to focus on the students who've been successful. And that's kind of been life-giving for me. And it's allowed me to come into each new year, and when I have students who frustrate me, in some ways I can look at them and I see Sadiq or I see George. And I think as frustrating as these students can be right now, and as challenging as they can be, they could become the next Sadiq Haynes or the next George Almazala.
Sadiq, I just like you grew up in Durham, and Durham seems to me to be another character in this book in some way. How did that shape who you are today, growing up here?
Well, the Bull City is a special place. You know, I was born in New York. I lived in Georgia for about 7 years before moving to North Carolina. And you know, what I learned from being in North Carolina, there were, you know, people from different walks of life. At the time, it seemed like the melting pot. You have people from the north, you have people from the south, and they all generated to Durham. And those were crucial years for me. You know, I really think when a person gets to their teenage years, it's really where, you know, they define themselves. And because so much growth was going on in the city, you know, I was able to see different backgrounds, different people from different walks of life. And at that time, you know, while I was in high school, me wanting to learn people's stories, it opened me up to see different things. I love Bull City till today. You know, no matter where I go, when people ask me where I'm from, I say I'm from Durham, North Carolina, because that's who I define myself as, really because that's where I became, I'd say, a young man, because I had some growing up to do in college as well. But that's where I became a young man, and I think that's where I define myself.
And sir, you know, it's funny because you gave that description of Jordan High School and all these different groups, mm-hmm. which seems rather perfect given an example of where we are in Durham with all these different groups coming in.
Yeah, it's Durham is a special place, and it's messy sometimes when you have these different groups that all come together. And fortunately, in my creative writing classes, I'll typically will have about 35 students. And they'll be coming from all these different backgrounds, high achieving, low achieving, from everywhere. And I've realized through that experience, it can be really touchy sometimes. But over time, just the sheer amount of time these kids spend with each other, they learn to put their defenses down and to see them as a human being and not as a caricature. And when you do that for somebody, you begin to see the world in an entirely different way. And if our society could look at this in this way, particularly in the political climate that we have right now, we can make a huge difference.
Well, the amount of diversity you seem to have in your classes, you could just keep writing these books forever. It's at least the next version coming out in a couple of years.
That's right. It's it makes every year distinct, every year different. And no story that I read is ever the same. And that really has kind of kept me going.
Sadiq Haynes is a football coach at Sam Houston State University in Texas and one of two students profiled in the new book, A World Beyond Home. Sadiq, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Also with us is Stuart Albright, a creative writing and English teacher at Jordan High School in Durham and the author of the new book, A World Beyond Home. Stuart, thanks very much.
Thank you, Phoebe. I appreciate it.
You can find out more information about the book on our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, the music of Lake Street Dive. Please stay with us.